Раздел 1. Аудирование. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После 1 и 2 прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
In this day and age, there are so many things you are expected to do online. If you don't own a computer or a tablet, you cannot even do simple things like book a hotel or get a doctor's appointment. And even if you do get a computer, it takes forever to figure out how to use it. It can get very frustrating for people my age. I cannot help but envy my young grandchildren and the ease with which they navigate this virtual world of theirs.
Speaker B.
I love my touchscreen phone. The best thing about it is that there are always so many things you can use it for, especially when you have nothing else to do. Listen to music, take pictures, play video games, or text your friends. Sometimes I have to spend a long time on a bus or a train, or wait for my parents while they are shopping. My phone is my best friend in these situations.
Speaker C.
I hate social media. I'm not a very sociable person in general, but when every 5 seconds your phone lights up with a new notification or message from one of the hundreds of social media networks that you've joined, it's just unbearable. When I come home, I just want to relax and avoid talking to people instead of having them follow me into my private life. But these days, you're expected to be part of this nightmare, and if you are not, you might miss some important information.
Speaker D.
I'm 45 years old, and I've been a gamer ever since I can remember. Over the years, I've seen a lot of innovations in video games. The first video game console you could hook up to your TV was very primitive by today's standards. The graphics got better and better on later game consoles, and then computers. They went from 2D to 3D, becoming more and more realistic and believable. Now we have virtual reality. It's very exciting for me to get to feel like I'm actually in the video game world.
Speaker E.
I cannot imagine how people lived even 20 years ago. Nowadays, it seems impossible that life could exist without the internet, social media, mobile phones, etc. I personally couldn't survive without them. Even though I know I probably shouldn't, I keep finding myself reaching for my phone every 5 minutes to refresh the feed on my Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram accounts. All in all, I end up spending hours on end reading, liking, sharing, and commenting on people's posts. I guess I'm addicted.
Speaker F.
Modern technology is great. A single mobile phone or tablet can substitute for an entire office. Now when I'm traveling, I don't feel disconnected from my work. There's hardly anything I cannot do as long as I have a stable internet connection. I can send emails, take part in video conferences, and be available 24/7 if the need arises. It's a dream come true for a true workaholic like me.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Now we're ready to start. Speaker A.
In this day and age, there are so many things you are expected to do online. If you don't own a computer or a tablet, you cannot even do simple things like book a hotel or get a doctor's appointment. And even if you do get a computer, it takes forever to figure out how to use it. It can get very frustrating for people my age. I cannot help but envy my young grandchildren and the ease with which they navigate this virtual world of theirs.
Speaker B.
I love my touchscreen phone. The best thing about it is that there are always so many things you can use it for, especially when you have nothing else to do. Listen to music, take pictures, play video games, or text your friends. Sometimes I have to spend a long time on a bus or a train, or wait for my parents while they are shopping. My phone is my best friend in these situations.
Speaker C.
I hate social media. I'm not a very sociable person in general, but when every 5 seconds your phone lights up with a new notification or message from one of the hundreds of social media networks that you've joined, it's just unbearable. When I come home, I just want to relax and avoid talking to people instead of having them follow me into my private life. But these days, you're expected to be part of this nightmare, and if you are not, you might miss some important information.
Speaker D.
I'm 45 years old, and I've been a gamer ever since I can remember. Over the years, I've seen a lot of innovations in video games. The first video game console you could hook up to your TV was very primitive by today's standards. The graphics got better and better on later game consoles and then computers. They went from 2D to 3D, becoming more and more realistic and believable. Now we have virtual reality. It's very exciting for me to get to feel like I'm actually in the video game world.
Speaker E.
I cannot imagine how people lived even 20 years ago. Nowadays, it seems impossible that life could exist without the internet, social media, mobile phones, etc. I personally couldn't survive without them. Even though I know I probably shouldn't, I keep finding myself reaching for my phone every 5 minutes to refresh the feed on my Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram accounts. All in all, I end up spending hours on end reading, liking, sharing, and commenting on people's posts. I guess I'm addicted.
Speaker F.
Modern technology is great. A single mobile phone or tablet can substitute for an entire office. Now when I'm traveling, I don't feel disconnected from my work. There's hardly anything I cannot do as long as I have a stable internet connection. I can send emails, take part in video conferences, and be available 24/7 if the need arises. It's a dream come true for a true workaholic like me.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста? 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we're ready to start.
Hi, Peggy. How's it going?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing great. Guess what? I'm going to Moscow for my study abroad program next year. This is my first trip to Russia.
That's fantastic, Peggy. I was there during my gap year. I can give you some advice about what to see and do there if you like.
That would be great. I was hoping you'd be able to help me out.
Well, the nice thing about Moscow is that you won't need a car. The public transportation system is one of the best in the world, and the metro stations are very efficient and also beautiful. Tourists come from all over the world to see them.
Oh, that's good to hear. I was thinking about buying a bicycle to travel around Moscow, but I guess it's not necessary.
It's true that Moscow is becoming more bicycle-friendly. There are special lanes for bikes, and you can even rent them around the city for a small fee. But there's still a lot of traffic and pedestrians to navigate through, and it's too cold and slippery in the winter for biking.
Right. What about food? You know I'm a vegetarian.
Well, being a vegetarian is not as common in Russia as it is in America, but it's becoming more and more popular in Moscow, and you can find specialty stores that sell things like tofu and other products for vegetarians, as well as vegetarian cafes. In addition, there are a lot of great dairy products like kefir and cottage cheese that you will love that you can find in any supermarket.
Cool. Another thing I was wondering about is where I can go to watch movies. I'm a really avid film goer and I don't like missing new releases. The problem is, my Russian isn't so good and I heard that in Russia all foreign films are dubbed into Russian.
That's true. Sometimes it's really hard to find films shown in English. There are a few places that show films in English with Russian subtitles. These are often artsy, intellectual places for Russians who know English, and they don't often sell popcorn there. You won't be able to find blockbuster films there either.
That's okay. I prefer watching more artistic films anyway. I also don't care much for popcorn, so it's not a big deal. What about places to see? I know all about the major attractions, but I'm sure there must be some less well-known sights that I shouldn't miss.
Since you're into movies, you should check out Mosfilm Studio. They have excursions there where you can see Russian film sets and props for classic Soviet films. It's extremely fascinating. There are also a large number of lesser-known museums that were actually the homes of famous Russian writers and artists that show how they really lived. I especially love Tolstoy's and Dostoevsky's museums.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Bill, for giving me such great advice. I'm really looking forward to my year abroad.
I'm sure you're going to have an unforgettable experience. Please keep in touch and let me know how it goes.
Sure. See you later.
Bye.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Now we're ready to start.
Hi, Peggy. How's it going?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing great. Guess what? I'm going to Moscow for my study abroad program next year. This is my first trip to Russia.
That's fantastic, Peggy. I was there during my gap year. I can give you some advice about what to see and do there if you like.
That would be great. I was hoping you'd be able to help me out.
Well, the nice thing about Moscow is that you won't need a car. The public transportation system is one of the best in the world, and the metro stations are very efficient and also beautiful. Tourists come from all over the world to see them.
Oh, that's good to hear. I was thinking about buying a bicycle to travel around Moscow, but I guess it's not necessary.
It's true that Moscow is becoming more bicycle-friendly. There are special lanes for bikes, and you can even rent them around the city for a small fee. But there's still a lot of traffic and pedestrians to navigate through, and it's too cold and slippery in the winter for biking.
Right. What about food? You know I'm a vegetarian.
Well, being a vegetarian is not as common in Russia as it is in America, but it's becoming more and more popular in Moscow, and you can find specialty stores that sell things like tofu and other products for vegetarians, as well as vegetarian cafes. In addition, there are a lot of great dairy products like kefir and cottage cheese that you will love that you can find in any supermarket.
Cool. Another thing I was wondering about is where I can go to watch movies. I'm a really avid film goer and I don't like missing new releases. The problem is, my Russian isn't so good, and I heard that in Russia, all foreign films are dubbed into Russian.
That's true. Sometimes it's really hard to find films shown in English. There are a few places that show films in English with Russian subtitles. These are often artsy, intellectual places for Russians who know English, and they don't often sell popcorn there. You won't be able to find blockbuster films there either.
That's okay. I prefer watching more artistic films anyway. I also don't care much for popcorn, so it's not a big deal. What about places to see? I know all about the major attractions, but I'm sure there must be some less well-known sights that I shouldn't miss.
Since you're into movies, you should check out Moss Film Studio. They have excursions there where you can see Russian film sets and props for classic Soviet films. It's extremely fascinating. There are also a large number of lesser-known museums that were actually the homes of famous Russian writers and artists that show how they really lived. I especially love Tolstoy's and Dostoevsky's museums.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Bill, for giving me such great advice. I'm really looking forward to my year abroad.
I'm sure you're going to have an unforgettable experience. Please keep in touch and let me know how it goes.
Sure. See you later.
Bye.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we are ready to start.
Hello. In this program, we continue our series on the problems of physical education in modern schools. Our guest today is Mr. Flint, a skateboarding teacher who believes that skateboarding should be on the school curriculum. Good morning, Mr. Flint. Why do you think skateboarding should be taught at school?
Good morning. Well, first of all, we all know that skateboarders are physically fit, have strong muscles, strong bones, an unquestionable balance. When you skate, there isn't a single muscle in your body that isn't actively working. In addition to these purely physical advantages, look at the abstract benefits. We learn how to persevere. We have mutual respect for ourselves and other skaters. We have a huge social network. We spend hours outdoors, and we are creative people who push our own limits to the max. We say, "Have you ever seen a lazy, obese skateboarder?"
Well, listening to you, it does sound like it's the perfect sport for developing both your body and your character. Yet, often people believe that skateboarding is a troublesome and meaningless activity, and there are many public places, including schools, where you can see signs saying, "No skateboarding allowed."
It's true that people often don't understand skateboarding as a sport. It is sometimes associated with gangs of angry youths hanging around town centers at night and therefore seen as an underground sport. It is a shame as there are some brilliant role models out there. In fact, speaking of bad behavior, get skateboards in schools and you will take the aggression out of the classroom and into the adrenaline rush of tricks. We need schools to consider skateboarding as a viable PE option. After all, the International Olympic Committee has approved skateboarding as a new sport, which will be part of the Olympic Games in Tokyo in 2020.
Speaking of tricks, aren't those dangerous? When I personally watch skateboarders going up and down the slopes and doing somersaults, it takes my breath away.
Well, first of all, skateboarding teaches you responsibility, and as many skateboarders wear helmets, wrist guards, and protection for knees and elbows, bad injuries are fortunately rare. Secondly, it doesn't have to be advanced tricks right from the start. It usually takes months before you can consider doing any tricks at all. And finally, making it a class means teaching how to do it safely.
Wouldn't making it a class also mean that it would be less attractive and even boring?
I don't think so. Skateboarding is always fun. Find me a town, city, or village where kids don't skateboard, and I'll be amazed. Besides, it's good for anyone. Girls and boys can compete equally. It is also good for those who are not natural athletes or enjoy competitive contact sports. Every student can participate alone or in teams. It is especially helpful for energetic, hyperactive kids who cannot concentrate. Have them skateboard between the classes and the problem is solved. We should embrace the subculture of skateboarding rather than push it away.
What will it mean for schools financially, though? Isn't the equipment expensive?
I have to admit that one of the main drawbacks to introducing a skateboarding program to a school is the cost. Skateboards can differ in price depending on what they are made of: wood, fiberglass, aluminum, or mixed metals. Safety equipment can also be costly. But think about the results and you will see that it's worth it. In fact, there are already a number of schools, both in the U.S. and around the world, which have found money in their budgets to implement a skateboarding curriculum of some kind, and believe me, they don't regret it.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Now we're ready to start.
Hello. In this program, we continue our series on the problems of physical education in modern schools. Our guest today is Mr. Flint, a skateboarding teacher who believes that skateboarding should be on the school curriculum. Good morning, Mr. Flint. Why do you think skateboarding should be taught at school?
Good morning. Well, first of all, we all know that skateboarders are physically fit, have strong muscles, strong bones, and unquestionable balance. When you skate, there isn't a single muscle in your body that isn't actively working. In addition to these purely physical advantages, look at the abstract benefits. We learn how to persevere. We have mutual respect for ourselves and other skaters. We have a huge social network. We spend hours outdoors. And we are creative people who push our own limits to the max. We say, have you ever seen a lazy, obese skateboarder?
Well, listening to you, it does sound like it's the perfect sport for developing both your body and your character. Yet, often people believe that skateboarding is a troublesome and meaningless activity. And there are many public places, including schools, where you can see signs saying, no skateboarding allowed.
It's true that people often don't understand skateboarding as a sport. It is sometimes associated with gangs of angry youths hanging around town centers at night and therefore seen as an underground sport. It is a shame as there are some brilliant role models out there. In fact, speaking of bad behavior, get skateboards in schools and you will take the aggression out of the classroom and into the adrenaline rush of tricks. We need schools to consider skateboarding as a viable PE option. After all, the International Olympic Committee has approved skateboarding as a new sport, which will be part of the Olympic Games in Tokyo in 2020.
Speaking of tricks, aren't those dangerous? When I personally watch skateboarders going up and down the slopes and doing somersaults, it takes my breath away.
Well, first of all, skateboarding teaches you responsibility. And as many skateboarders wear helmets, wrist guards, and protection for knees and elbows, Bad injuries are fortunately rare. Secondly, it doesn't have to be advanced tricks right from the start. It usually takes months before you can consider doing any tricks at all. And finally, making it a class means teaching how to do it safely.
Wouldn't making it a class also mean that it would be less attractive and even boring?
I don't think so. Skateboarding is always fun. Find me a town, city, or village where kids don't skateboard, and I'll be amazed. Besides, it's good for anyone. Girls and boys can compete equally. It is also good for those who are not natural athletes or enjoy competitive contact sports. Every student can participate alone or in teams. It is especially helpful for energetic, hyperactive kids who cannot concentrate. Have them skateboard between the classes and the problem is solved. We should embrace the subculture of skateboarding rather than push it away.
What will it mean for schools financially, though? Isn't the equipment expensive?
I have to admit that one of the main drawbacks to introducing a skateboarding program to a school is the cost. Skateboards can differ in price depending on what they are made of: wood, fiberglass, aluminum, or mixed metals. Safety equipment can also be costly. But think about the results and you will see that it's worth it. In fact, there are already a number of schools, both in the U.S. and around the world, which have found money in their budgets to implement a skateboarding curriculum of some kind, and believe me, they don't regret it.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test. Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.